Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I am your host, Paul Gant. And for the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And of course, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. If you have an opinion, the number is to call 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. And you can look to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgan. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gan@gmail.com. That's goforit.gan@gmail.com. Hope everybody had a good week. Hope everybody's having a good day. And hopefully everybody will be ready to listen as we talk sports here and have a little fun doing it. We're expected to be joined by actor Eric Ladin. Eric plays on and will be playing on AMC's show that's coming up. It'll be debuting actually on April 3rd, Eric's show, and it's going to be a great show because Eric is a part of it. But anyway, Eric is going to be joining us talking about his show that will be airing on A&E Called the Killing, AMC, excuse me, Called the Killing, and that will debut April 3rd on AMC, and Eric is going to come on by and talk about that show, The Killing, and also talk about his beloved Los Angeles Lakers, and also senior executive of the Orlando Magic, Pat Williams, will stop on by to talk about his Orlando Magic, some of the happenings in the NBA, and also a new book about John Wooden that he has out. So it should be interesting to get Pat's thoughts on the Magic and Pat, and hear about Pat's book on the legendary coach, John Wooden. And we're going to talk all that and more, and also we're going to talk some NFL football. And more specifically, we're going to start with the NFL, the upcoming impossible lockout. It was announced yesterday, well, actually the day before, if you remember Thursday, where the NFL came out and its players association came out and said, you know what, we're going to extend the deadline 24 hours. And so the deadline was extended 24 hours. And then yesterday, the deadline was extended another week. And so now March 11th, which is next Friday, is now the new deadline to get this deal done. What does this mean? Who knows at this point? I mean, apparently both sides have made some concessions, and both sides apparently, up to some reports, are roughly $25 million per team apart. That essentially equates to $750 million or $800 million. And I guess that's $200 million down from the $1 billion that was seemingly separating these two parties. But at this point, I'm assuming progress has been made, and many seem to be encouraged by what's going on with these talks. Will there be a lockout? Maybe. I think it will be a lockout, but I don't think games will be missed. I think they will find a way to avoid that. But there will be a lockout, I think. And we had Jarvis Green on the show last week, a player for the Houston Texans defensive end. Jarvis said there's going to be a lockout. When asked the question, he said without hesitation, there's going to be a lockout. So, I mean, that's coming from a player's perspective. But we don't know. We don't know. We don't know what may happen. One of the biggest issues right now that's affecting the situation is that $1 billion off the top. Under the old deal, owners received about $1 billion off the top. Now, they want more. they want another $1 billion off the top. So the owners want more money. And as of right now, the way it breaks down, the players are making more than the owners. If you split the pot up, the players are making more than the owners. So the owners want to change that a little bit. They want to make it the other way around. They want the percentages to go in favor of the owners. And if you think about it, from an owner's perspective, if you're an owner and you're out there and you're taking the financial risks, if you will, in terms of owning the ball club, in terms of financing players' salaries and building stadiums and more. If you're the owner of the business, you want to make more than your workers. You want to make more than your workers. If you're an owner of McDonald's, owners of McDonald's, and I don't know how fair of a comparison this is, but an owner of McDonald's, he makes a whole heck of a lot more than his workers. But the workers are the ones who are preparing the burgers. The workers are the ones who are selling the burgers. The workers are the ones who are preparing the fries. The workers are doing all those things. But the owner is the one taking the financial risk, if you will, in that particular situation. So while the workers, I guess, on some level are taking a risk like a player in terms of, I mean, if you're in the kitchen, possibly you can keep burnt. I mean, if you're working in a McDonald's, possibility someone can break in and rob the place. And then your life is in danger. So there are risks, if you will, in working at McDonald's. And obviously there are risks in playing football, a lot of risks, a lot of physical risks in playing the game of football. And if you look at it, the players are definitely taking risks themselves. And the players are what drives this machine, if you will. They drive the game. But the players are taking a risk as well. I mean, you have players who are putting their life, their bodies on the line, and in a lot of ways their minds, too, on the line each and every Sunday. They get paid well doing it, but they put their lives and their bodies on the line. And a lot of them, once they get out of the game, are messed up, physically messed up emotionally. I mean, these guys are messed up after they're retired. So if you're a player, you know, in your mind, you know, you want to get the bulk of the money. If you're the owner, you want to get the bulk of the money. And so you can kind of understand both sides. You can understand it from a player's perspective. Hey, like I said before, you're taking all the risk in terms of putting your body on the line each and every Sunday and they're selling your jerseys. And they're marketing and in some respects maybe pimping you out, if you will, each and every Sunday. They're doing that to you as a player. As an owner, you got to understand, as an owner, from an owner's perspective, look, you have all the financial risk, if you will. The players cannot. The players are not owning these teams. The owners are owning these teams. The players don't have the $1 billion that these owners have. So if you're an owner, guess what? The way you look at it is, you know what? I'm taking all the financial risk, so I should be getting paid the most. So the players are taking the physical risk. The owners are taking the financial risk. The question becomes, which risk is greater? Which risk is greater? And I guess that's, in a lot of ways, that is the battle right here and right now. That's the battle. But here's the bigger picture now. Let's look at the bigger picture. Let's not look at the owners. Let's not look at the players. Let's look at the bigger picture, which is the game of football. If you look at the NFL, TV dollars, crazy. Crazy, crazy. I mean, $9 billion worth of revenue each and every year. $9 billion of revenue is what they're trying to split up here. So if you're bringing in $9 billion, it's a recession and the NFL is still making money. The NFL is printing money. They're printing money. So you're making all this money. The players are benefiting. The league is benefiting. So right now, you're at a high. Everything is going well. Guess what? In order for that thing to continue to work well and continue to go well, people are going to have to give up some things. You got to give a little and take a little. You're going to have to give up some things. And the way I look at it, if you look at it, the present system to me is fine. Financially, it works. I mean, everybody is benefiting. Everybody right now is eating. Everybody's right now is eating, and they're eating well. They're eating well. So what do you do? What do you do? The owners feel like, you know what? We've got to put this a little bit more in our favor. The players are saying, you know what? Let's keep it all the same. I'm saying you guys got to come together and make this happen. Football right now is king. Football is king right now. Everyone loves football right now. The ratings are crazy. I mean, the ratings are off the charts. The amount of money that's being made is off the charts. And we have to remember, it is a recession. We're out of the recession. Technically, we're out of the recession. But unemployment is still high. There's a lot of people out here who don't have jobs. There's a lot of people out here who are losing homes and have lost homes. There is a lot of that out here. But the NFL, it's still going. The machine is still churning out and making the money. But something has to give. Something has to give. And these two sides, both sides, need to work together on this. They need to work together. And ultimately, when it comes to working together, just like in any type of partnership, any type of marriage, or any type of situation, business situation or marriage or any type of situation, you're going to have to give a little. You're going to have to give a little for the greater good of the game. The game will live. The game will live. The game will continue to go on. How successful could come down to what happens here. Now, granted, if games are truly missed, which I don't think will happen, if there's a lockdown and games are missed, if that happens, yes, we may miss we'll miss football. But guess what? When everybody comes back, the fans will ultimately come back. It may take some time, but they'll come back. They always do. Everybody says, oh, I'm not coming back. I'm done with this. I'm done with that. These players and owners don't respect me and blah, 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 blah. But guess what? At the end of the day, when the games are played, you're back. You come right on back watching football because you love it and it's entertaining. And right now, football is king. The reality is these two sides have to work together. They have to work together for the greater good of the game. So the lockout is big news right now, the possible lockout. And as I said before, they have extended the deadline a week from yesterday. And so March 11th is the deadline. And they have extended it. And there's some other issues, obviously, on the dock and in terms of this NFL labor situation. I mean, the rookie wage scale is another big thing that these two sides are fighting. And as far as I'm concerned, and that's an issue that definitely something needs to be done there. I mean, you have guys who are basically being paid on what they do in college. And in a lot of ways, if you're a guy coming out of college, your best bet is to do almost better in college than you'll do in the pros, because if you do great in college, there's a possibility you'll get drafted high, and there's a possibility that you'll get an astronomical signing bonus before you even take a snap. So if you go out and you do well in the college level, and then you go to the NFL and you did big things on the college level, the NFL will pay you essentially on potential. They'll pay you on what they think you'll be able to do. They're willing to do it. They're willing to pay you on what they think you will be able to do. That's what they're willing to do. They're willing to do that. They're willing to pay you on what they believe you can do. That doesn't happen anywhere else. That doesn't happen anywhere else. So you're being paid on potential. On potential. So Sam Bradford, a guy, 6-year, $72 million contract, coming out of Oklahoma, who was the number one pick for the Rams last season, coming out of Oklahoma, 6-year, $72 million contract. $50 million of that, which was guaranteed. This is before he has taken a snap. So Sam Bradford is a bust. If Sam Bradford had a decent rookie season, almost led the Rams to the playoffs. But if you're Sam Bradford and you stink the joint up from year two on, guess what? You pocketed a cool $50 million. All on potential. That is something that needs to be taken care of and rectified. That needs to be rectified. You have to rectify that situation. You have to do it. You have to rectify that situation. You have to. You have to. I mean, before you even take a snap, you know, Sam Bradford walked away with a cool $50 million, seemingly set for life off of what he did in college and not what he did in the National Football League. What a country. What a country that you can come in off the street, if you will, and make a cool $50 million without even taking one snap. Set for life before one snap. Before ever taking a snap. That, my friend, it doesn't get any better than that if you're saying Bradford and any rookie in that match. Any rookie. Any rookie. It doesn't matter. $50 million before he even took a snap. That has to change. And hopefully they'll maybe take an approach that the NBA has taken. If you're taking one, you get X amount of money. Taking number two, you get slotted with X amount of money. I think the first round picking anybody is around roughly $12 million. But again, hopefully they'll take that route. And it's obviously common sense will tell you there's something wrong with that. There's obviously something wrong with that. And you don't need to be degreed up. You don't need to have multiple degrees and masters and doctorates and all that other stuff to know that this system is screwed up and that needs to be taken care of. The rookie wage scale needs to be taken care of, and they need to do something about it. Also, a big issue right now that the players and the owners are fighting over is the 18-game schedule. And that's, you know, basically you would have two preseason games, and then you would have the regular season, which would be 18 games. And the preseason, as is currently constructed, is 4 games. But they would limit the preseason to 2 games, and there would be an 18-game season. Again, you limit the preseason as less time to evaluate players. So, and it's less time for players to kind of get right and get their minds and everything right and get right in terms of playing live football before the regular season starts. So you're taking that away a little bit. I mean, granted, the preseason is 4 games, and a lot of times that 4th game is a non-game, but it's a game where you get to see kind of the end of your roster, the bottom of your roster, what guys will make it, kind of guys on the ball in terms of making the roster. That is what you're looking at in that last preseason game, because none of the starters play in the last preseason game. The 3rd preseason game is essentially the dress rehearsal. So maybe you can limit the preseason to 3. I mean, the preseason probably could be limited to 3 games, but it's 4 games as it currently constructed. But the way I see this, 16 games is a lot. 18 games, now you're talking something that may not be doable. And you may have, the game may suffer. You may suffer. The game may suffer from an 18-game schedule. I mean, 16 games. You look at the Green Bay Packers, the world champion Green Bay Packers. 15 guys on injured reserve. 15 guys on injured reserve, and if you watch the Super Bowl, they lost Woodson in that game, they lost Sam Shields in that game, and they also lost Donald Driver in that game. So imagine if we had an 18-game schedule, 18 games, 18 live football games, 18 live football games. Regular season game. I'm not talking preseason. I'm talking about regular season football game, 18. Imagine that. Imagine that. I mean, you're going to have a bunch of backups playing. You're going to have a lot of backups playing some meaningful football. And that's never good. That's never good. I mean, people, when they go to the games, they go to see the stars. They go to see the stars do what they do. They don't go see the backups. They don't go see the backup quarterback. If you're an Eagles fan, you want to see Michael Vick in there. You don't want to see anybody else but Michael Vick if you're an Eagles fan. That's what you pay for. You pay to see a Michael Vick. You pay to see a Michael Vick. If you're Dallas, you pay to see a Tony Romo. That's what you pay to see. If you're in Indianapolis, you pay to see a Peyton Manning. That's what you pay to see. You pay to see a Peyton Manning. You don't pay to see anybody else. You don't pay to see Curtis Painter if you're an Indianapolis Colts fan. No, you pay to see Peyton Manning. That's what you pay for. That's what you pay for. You pay for that guy. That's what you pay for. That guy, Peyton Manning. So imagine if we go to an 18-game schedule, and in doing so, imagine what kind of football we could have. We could have some raggedy football in some meaningful spot. And that's never good. And that's never a good thing. Raggedy football in meaningful spots. Raggedy football. Fans do not pay for that. They don't pay thousands and thousands of dollars per fan. They don't pay millions and millions of dollars for the fans as a whole. They don't pay all their money to see raggedy football. They don't, 60,000 plus don't come to see raggedy football. They don't come to see Curtis Painter. They don't come to see Curtis Painter. They come to see Peyton Manning. They come to see Matty Ice, Matt Ryan, not Chris Redman in Atlanta. Tony Gonzalez, they come to see him. They don't come to see backups. And that's what you may see in meaningful spots if we go to an 18-game schedule. That's what you may see. You want to see Aaron Rodgers. We all want to see Aaron Rodgers, not Mike Flynn, the backup quarterback. That's what we want to see. But if we have an 18-game schedule, you may see a Curtis Painter in a big spot. You may see a Mike Flynn in a big spot. That's what you may see. That's what you may see in a big spot. And that's what you do not pay to see. You don't pay to see that. You deserve better. An 18-game season. And if you look at it, most fans will tell you that they don't want to see it. Most fans will tell you they don't want to see it. Every poll that I've seen has been against it. So fans don't really want it. Fans believe that it won't be a good thing. The players think it won't be a good thing. Why can't the owners? And again, it's about money, because two more games, that's more fans in the seats. That's two more games you could sell. And your television contract, sponsorship deals, so on and so forth. That's more money. That's more income for the NFL. And again, in terms of the NFL, if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. And if it does make dollars, rest assured that it makes a whole lot of sense if you're the NFL ownership. If it makes dollars, by golly, guess what? It makes a whole heck of a lot of sense. And that is the reason. And probably the only reason. Because it's not going to be better football. That's not the reason. It's not about football. It's not about player safety. It's not about that. It's about dollars. It's about sex. But it's definitely not about a better brand of football. It's definitely not about a better brand of football. No way. And anybody, you can't tell me otherwise. You can't tell me otherwise. This is not about a better brand of football. This is about dollars and cents. And hopefully, wisdom will prevail, and hopefully we don't see an 18-game schedule. But guess what? If we don't see it next year, we may see it at some point. It's going to happen, I believe. An 18-game schedule is going to happen. It's just a matter of when. It's just a matter of when it will happen. And that's just reality, folks. That is reality, folks. Can the human body handle an 18-game schedule? Granted, we're bigger. Granted, people are stronger. Granted, we are faster. But guess what? The body can only take so much. Everything has a breaking point. 18-game schedule, guess what? That may be the breaking point. That may be the breaking point for the human body. But let me know what you think about the 18-game schedule, the CBA agreement, and all this nonsense about the possible lockout. Let me know what you think. Numbers to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pecan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pecan. So what do you think? Lockout. What's your thoughts on it? Does it happen? Should it happen? Do you feel sorry for anybody? Because it's kind of hard to feel sorry for billionaires versus millionaires or haves versus that. Especially in this economy when you have a lot of have-nots. I mean, the economy's jacked up. The economy is jacked up from the floor up, and we got owners and players fighting over how to split $9 billion. We have millionaires against billionaires, haves against haves, and you got people out here that don't even know when their next meal is going to come. Or don't even know how they're going to pay their next mortgage payment. We got people who are getting pink slips as we speak. And then you have the NFL fighting over $9 billion. Ain't no sympathy here. Ain't no sympathy here. And it's going to be hard for the NFL, the players, and definitely the owners, to get sympathy from Joe Public. Especially with this economy being what it is. So, if the NFL and its players expect to get some kind of sympathy, don't look here and don't look at most of America. Because guess what? Billionaires versus millionaires, haves against haves, means nothing to Joe Q public. Means nothing. Get it done, get on the field, and entertain us. And we'll pay to watch it. Do what you do, we'll do what we do, and everything will be fine. Handle it. Handle it, handle it, handle it. And that's all I'll say about that. Handle your business, players. Handle your business, owners. Handle your business, the NFL as a whole. Handle yours. Handle yours. Please. For the benefit of all of us. For the benefit of all your fans, all your sponsors, and everyone out. The concession stand worker, the jersey seller, all the people below you. Get it done. Get it done. This message was sponsored by Paul Gay. Switching gears now. The NBA. And more specifically, I want to look at the Miami Heat. A team right now that is struggling. Now you're saying 43-19. It's hard to say you're struggling when you're 43-19. But a team right now that has lost three in a row. A team right now that is 14-17 against teams above 500. And I believe 1-7 against the top two teams in the East. The top teams in the league. So, the Miami Heat are a team that's struggling right now. The Miami Heat are a team that blew a big lead against the Magic the other day, blew another lead on Sunday against the New York Knicks, and were blown out yesterday by the San Antonio Spurs. So a team that's struggling right now. And that was a big game. You look at last week's game against the Knicks Sunday night in Miami, Knicks-Heat rivalry revisited. It was a big game. It was a big regular season game that had that playoff atmosphere. It was a big game. Two teams that had a history. The Knicks, with the addition of Melo and Chauncey Billups, to go along with Amari Stoudemire. I mean, that was a game that they really looked at, and it was a big game for them. And a game that they were behind, and a game that the Miami Heat, was dominating and was in control. But in that second half, the Knicks turned some things around. They started to make some plays. And the Heat, I guess, got a little tight. Chauncey Billups did his thing. Big shot Billups made a big three-pointer down the stretch in that game. And then that great block by Amari Stoudemire coming from the other side to block a LeBron James layup attempt. I mean, a big block, and ultimately which led to the victory. Spike Lee was in the building. He was excited. All those Knicks fans who are in Miami, all those New Yorkers who are in Miami were excited. And it was a star-studded crowd. I mean, Venus Williams was in the building. Of course, Spike Lee was in the building. Michael Clark Duncan was in the building. So the biggest and the brightest were out. The lights were green. It was prime time, a prime time game. The Knicks came in there and they did what they had to do, and Miami blew a lead, and ultimately they would lose. ultimately they would lose. And then we go to Thursday against the Orlando Magic. Again, the Miami Heat seemingly in control. Seemingly in control of that game. Had a 24-point lead in the third quarter against the Miami Heat. A 24-point lead in that game, in the third quarter. And guess what? The Orlando Magic closed on a 40-9 run over the next 15 minutes to win the game. And you're thinking to yourself, with a roster and with guys like Dwayne Wade, with guys like LeBron James, and with guys like Chris Bosh on your roster, how do you get outscored 40-9 over the last 15 minutes of the game? How does that happen? How does something like that happen? How does that happen? And then last night, in the week that was for the Miami Heat, they go to San Antonio and they get blown out. 125-95, 30-point loss for this Heat team. That's three games in a row. And if you look at the game against the Knicks, LeBron James had an opportunity against the Knicks to tie the game. He missed a three. And then, against the Orlando Magic, LeBron James had an opportunity to tie the game with a three. He front-runs it. And the Heat lose again. Miami Heat had opportunities, and they had the ball in the hands of their guy, the King, King James, LeBron James, and on both occasions, he came up small. Two opportunities, two times for LeBron James, and two times he came up small. Two times. He had the opportunities, he had the chances to tie the game and ultimately send those games in the overtime. And he came up small. Two times. And I heard Skip Bayless say for a long time, I heard Skip Bayless say that maybe LeBron just doesn't have that clutch gene. Maybe he doesn't have that clutch gene. And Skip Bayless is looking better and better as this thing progresses. As this thing progresses, Skip Bayless and what he has said, he's looking more and more correct each and every day. Each and every day. Now, I think LeBron James can be clutch. I think LeBron James is, obviously, if not the best, the second best player in the National Basketball Association. But if you look at what separates him from Kobe, LeBron doesn't have the jump shot that Kobe Bryant does, doesn't have the mid-range game that Kobe Bryant does. So if you look at the situation against the Knicks, he went straight to the lane. Kobe Bryant in that situation may have pulled up, may have took a few hard dribbles and then raised up with a jump shot, a short jump shot. LeBron James, more often than not, he's going to take it all the way to the cup. And he took it all the way to the cup. But standing tall and talented, Amari Stoudemire was there to block the shot. And then you look at those, again, he had opportunities. Another opportunity in that game. He shot a three, which was short. against the Orlando Magic. The Heat, I guess, got a little tight. 40-9 run over the final 15 minutes. But LeBron James had the ball in his hand and an opportunity to tie the game. He comes up short again. Is LeBron James not clutch? I don't think that's the case. But he's definitely not a killer like a Kobe Bryant at this point. Kobe Bryant is just a stone-cold killer. No regard for human life to steal one from Kevin Harlan. No regard for human life. That's Kobe Bryant. That's Kobe Bryant. That's Kobe Bryant. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. He's going to do what he has to do to win. No matter what's against him, no matter who's against him, Kobe Bryant's going to do what Kobe Bryant's going to do. That's Kobe Bryant. That's what Kobe Bryant's about. LeBron James, and I'm not saying LeBron James is not going to do what he has to do to get it done. But LeBron James gets it done. LeBron James gets it done. But he doesn't get it done the way Kobe Bryant gets it done. He doesn't get it done the way Kobe gets it done. So the Miami Heat, they lost 3 in a row. Right now, if you look at the Eastern Conference standings, the 3.5 games out of the top spot, which is behind the Boston Celtics, who seem like when it's all said and done, they will be the top of the Eastern Conference. 3 games out, the Miami Heat are not 3.5, like I previously stated. They're actually 3 games out. Chicago's also 3 games out of that top spot. And I said before, if I look at the Eastern Conference, there are 4 teams who I think have legitimate shots to make it to the NBA Finals, and that's the Boston Celtics. That's the Chicago Bulls, that's the Miami Heat, and that's the Orlando Magic in no particular order. Those 4 teams are the teams that have legit shots, I believe, in making it to the NBA Finals. And I want to go a little lower in the Eastern Conference standings, and I want to go to the 7th seed, which is the Philadelphia 76ers. I got to get some props to my Philadelphia 76ers. This team is playing some good basketball right now. Some good basketball right now. 31-30. After getting off to a 3-13 start. And when they got off to that 3-13 start, you're saying to yourself, wow, Doug Collins got a lot of work to do. But guess what? Over the next 25 games, after that 3-13 start, they were 28-17. So after that 3-8 start, over the next 45 games, they're 28-17. 28-17 over the next 45 games after getting off to that 3-13 start. Give Doug Collins a lot of credit for turning this thing around and turning this team around. And if you look at it, this team is getting a lot of contributions off the bench. A lot of contributions off the bench. Lou Williams is coming off the bench and doing big things. Thaddeus Young. I mean, they lead the league in bench scoring. They lead the league in bench scoring. Lou Williams and Thaddeus Young are key reasons why. Those guys are playing some great basketball off the bench for the Philadelphia 76ers. They're playing some very good basketball off the bench.
and they're giving us the second unit a big-time spark. They're giving the second unit a big-time spark. I mean, Lou Williams, Thaddeus Young, and Evan Turner are coming off the bench. And coming off the bench and contributing big-time. Big-time contributions from those guys. Lou Williams is really getting it done. Really getting it done. I mean, Lou Williams is averaging 13 points a game off the bench. Thad Young, 12 points a game off the bench. Evan Turner is contributing 7 points off the bench. And he'd have most Spacers coming off the bench and giving some good contributions as well. So they're getting contributions off the bench, which is big. And they're getting some great play from Elton Brand, who's leading the team with 15 points a game. Elton Brand is starting to live up to that contract, slowly but surely. And everybody, say what you will about Andre Iguodala. You hear it all the time. But guess what? 14 points, 6 assists, and 6 boards a game ain't shabby. That ain't shabby. Say something about his jump shot. His jump shot is not the greatest. Say something about his handle. His handle is not the greatest. But you can't argue with 14, 6, and 6. 14, 6, and 6. 14 points a game, 6 boards, 6 assists, including a triple-double last night. Andre Iguodala messed around and got a triple-double last night. And the Sixers are a game over 500 at 31-30. 28-17 after getting off the 3-13 start. That's solid coaching by Dougie Collins. And that's great play from the bench. That's great bench play. And again, for all his flaws, talking about Andre Iguodala, for all his flaws, 14-6-6 ain't bad at all. That ain't bad. And 1.5 steals. He's a very good wing defender. He can do it all. He can do a lot of things. He can do a lot of things. 14-6-6 ain't that bad. And there are not too many players in the league who can have a stat line like that. LeBron James, a Kobe Bryant. I mean, it's a do-it-all type of stat line for Andre Iguodala. It's a do-it-all type of stat line. And so, again, say all you want about all the flaws that's in his game. And they're there. The flaws are there. But as I said before, and I'll say it again, I'll say it one more time so you understand where I'm coming from. 14-6-6 ain't bad at all. That's not bad. That's not bad. And then they played the Minnesota Timberwolves last night, and Kevin Love, it's just doing what Kevin Love has done throughout this whole season. Messed around and got a double-double. But not just any double-double, a 20-20 double-double. A 20-20 double-double last night for Kevin Love. That's impressive. And that's a guy who's had a 30-30 double-double in this season. I mean, he's a double-double king. He's a double-double king. You got to love Kevin. You got to love Kevin Love. I mean, he had 31 in 31 game against the New York Knicks. A 30-30 game. A 30-30 game. That's impressive. A 30-30 game. That's impressive. That's impressive. And he had a 32 points, 22 boards against the San Antonio Spurs back in November. I mean, come on. That's impressive, man. And so Kevin Love is having a great season. He's having a great season. And he had a big game last night, another 2020 game. 21 points, 23 rebounds, his 10th 2020 game of the season, and his 49th consecutive double-double. As he prepares to enter Moses Malone territory, as he's too shy of matching Moses Malone's streak. Kevin Love is having a great year, quietly. It's not necessarily quietly per se, but if you look at it, he's playing for the Minnesota Timberwolves. So his stat line and what he has done may not be as appreciated because of the team that he's on. But give him a lot of credit. 20-20 is hard to do. A double-double is hard to do. He's done it 49 consecutive times. 49 times in a row he's done it, Kevin Love. So big ups to Kevin Love. And again, you got to give him a lot of credit for the year that he has had, because he's having a great year. Give Kevin Love a lot of credit. I know he's in Minnesota playing for a bad team, but the guy is just putting up numbers. Kudos to Kevin Love. In the face of playing with a bad team and not getting the type of recognition that he may deserve, Kevin Love's numbers are impressive. And if you didn't hear them, let me repeat them to you. Leads the league in rebounding at 15 rebounds a game, 15.7, close to 16 boards a game. 10 2020 games this season, 49 straight double-doubles. A 30-30 game this season, 30 points, 30 rebounds. I mean, the guy is just having a great year. And if he's on a great team or a better team, you might be able to sneak him into that MVP conversation if he was on a better team. But Kevin Love is getting it done. The man is getting it done. So kudos to Kevin Love. Kudos to Andre Iguodala. His 14-6-6. And also, I want to look at Dwight Howard right now. Dwight Howard picked up his 16th technical last night, which is going to lead probably to a one-game suspension. After 16 technicals, it turns into a suspension. It's a league-leading 16 technical for Dwight Howard. And he's the guy who gets banged around, beat up, and pounded on throughout the course of a game, night in and night out. And you kind of understand at some point where he would get a little frustrated and start taking swipes back, start taking some pushes back. You can kind of understand that. But the guy's got to learn how to control himself. He's got to compose himself. Because he's hurt by missing a game, he's hurt his team. You miss a game, you hurt a team. And that's something you don't want to do. You don't want to do that. You don't want to hurt your team. And if he's missing games, he's hurting his team. So if you're Dwight Howard, you want to try to compose yourself. You want to try to I don't know, I mean, it's tough. I mean, like I said before, you get banged on game in and game out. You're a big guy, you're getting banged on. It's like Shaq in a lot of ways. Shaq gets banged on. It's been banged on throughout his career. But Shaq seemed to handle it a little better than Dwight Howard. He seems to handle it a little better than Dwight Howard. So hopefully Dwight Howard can handle this a little better, handle the pounding a little better, handle which may be some cheap shots, a little better. And hopefully he can compose himself because he's hurting the team by getting suspended. He's hurting his team. He's hurting his team. And you're missing games, you're hurting your team. You don't want that. You don't want that. You don't want to hurt your team. Especially a team that's involved in a playoff battle right now. They're top of the Atlanta Hawks right now in the standings. They're the fourth seed. The Hawks are behind them as the fifth seed. So right now, if the first round would start today, they would have a home court advantage against the Atlanta Hawks, and they're 2.5 games on top of the Hawks. So you want to stay there. You want to stay at that fourth spot. You want to get higher, of course. But if you can't get higher, you want to stay at that fourth spot because you want to have that home court advantage in the playoffs, at least in the first round of the playoffs. So by Dwight Howard missing games because of technicals, he's hurting his team. And again, if you're Dwight Howard, you got to know that the pounding's coming. And I guess you have to prepare yourself a little better. Easy for me to say, because I'm not the one getting hit on and pounded and cheap shotted, if you will, like a Dwight Howard. But you know, again, you got to be smarter. You got to be smarter. And hopefully Dwight Howard will get smarter as the season progresses and will compose himself and not get caught up in some of the things. Not get caught up in some of the things like the technicals, which with his 16th technical last night will affect his team because he will ultimately probably, he will be suspended. He's 16, after 16 years suspended. So hopefully, Dwight Howard can compose himself. We're expected to be joined now next couple minutes by Eric Ladin, actor, big-time Lakers fan. And Eric co-stars in the upcoming AMC series, The Killing. And so Eric is a big-time Lakers fan. And we're going to talk Lakers basketball with Eric. We're also going to talk about The Killing, which is scheduled to debut on April 3rd on AMC. It's going to be interesting to get Eric's thoughts on his Lakers and on The Killing. And Eric's a fine actor. And again, I'm very interested to see his thoughts on his Lakers, a team that has been playing well of late, haven't won six in a row, and is playing some good basketball right now. But you have the Spurs out west. You have the Mavericks out west, and you have the Oklahoma City Thunder who have added Kendrick Perkins out west. So all these guys have added pieces. They've added pieces. And so, how does that affect the Lakers' chances? How does that affect the Lakers' chances to three-peat? Should be interesting to get Eric's thoughts on that and more. If you have an opinion on the lockout on the current NBA season, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gant@gmail.com. We are now being joined by the host of Picturing@gmail.com. So make sure you listen.
Okay.
Make sure you listen, please.
Hey, what up? It's Corey Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Pictureka on the Hub and warm-up host for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. And right now, you are listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio with my man, Paulie G and Jeremy. Get it!
Thanks for the love, Corey. Corey Almeida, great guest to the show. And, you know, things didn't really go too well for Corey in his Pittsburgh Steelers. So black and yellow, 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 black and yellow. Things didn't go well there. But things are probably going well for Corey as he is the warm-up host for American Idol, for Dancing with the Stars. And so things are going well for him. And we thank Corey Almeida for stopping by and giving a plug to the great show on blogtalkradio.com, which is Go For It. We actually are now being joined by actor and big-time Lakers fan, Eric Ladin. Eric, how are you today, sir? Eric, how are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Eric, you're originally from Houston, Texas.
I am.
But you found a way to be a big-time Lakers fan. How does a boy from Houston, Texas become a fan of the Los Angeles Lakers?
Oh,
please,
God, you sound like my buddies from home already. they always give me slack about this. I'll tell you what, you know what, I when I moved out to Los Angeles to go to school in 97, I had a dear friend of mine who had season tickets to the Lakers, and he would take me to the games, you know, and I'd be sitting eighth row center court and watching, you know, that was in 98, so I was watching Kobe and Shaq, and they were winning championships, and I remember going to that epic series against the Trailblazers when we won that series with that huge comeback in Game 6.
Right.
And you know, it was tough when you go into Staples and you know, you got the celebrities walking around and it's just an event, and you got those guys on the court. It's tough not to become a fan quick. So, you know, just as a sports fan, I was just like, oh, this team's too good not to be a fan of. And I had fun. And then we got just that terrible team after Shaq left. And then, oh, God, we had those terrible years and muscled through it. And now we're back.
And you definitely are back. And you are the defending champions two times in a row. But right now, you're currently third in the Western Conference. Playing pretty well late. 6-game winning streak. Including a victory last night over the Bobcats.
Yeah, that
How
was
a good
one.
How are you feeling about the Lakers at this point? How are you feeling about the Lakers right now?
I feel good about them right now. I was getting a little nervous there before the break, but they look like they're playing good ball. I think that we still, if we can get Barnes back on the court, I think it'll be a huge, huge help. You know, it'll just add to that bench, which has been so key in them winning championships. So I think that's a huge component that if we're gonna make a run, I think that's gonna be a huge piece of the puzzle, because you know how it is in the playoffs. You gotta have a strong bench, and
right.
Especially it looks like this year we're gonna have to have a few more road wins than we have in the past, because it doesn't look like we're gonna have that one seed. So, but I feel good about it. I think that they've got a chance to be peaking just at the right time.
And I think the key to the Lakers is a healthy Andrew Bynum.
This guy
means a lot to the team. And you put him on the court with Odom, with Gasol. I mean, you're very long. You're very athletic. How much does Bynum need to this team?
Oh, he is this team. And that's why those talks, I mean, let me say this. Kobe is the team, and we know that. But Bynum is the link to winning another championship, and you can tell if you watch basketball and you know basketball, you know, people in the West have now built teams around trying to beat the Lakers. That's what they do.
Right.
That's what they have to do. It's about beating the Lakers. It's not about beating other teams. And so, you know, when you remember that year a couple years ago when Bynum went out and we were playing real good basketball and Bynum blew his knee, and You saw it on Kobe's face. He thought he was winning a title that year, and Kobe went over to the bench and just punched a chair, and you saw it right there. I mean, we lost our length, we lost our inside presence, and sure enough, we then lost in the finals to Boston. But since then, with a healthy Bynum, if he's playing well, we are just a real, real tough team to beat. You know, and I think that, you know, it's interesting because you look at, like, what Oklahoma City's done and
right,
the additions they've made. Yeah, yeah, and that'll be interesting to kind of see, you know, how that helps them, because I think they're a real tough out, especially for the Lakers. You know, they play us real tough.
And if you remember, I mean, Gasol made that putback in that game six. But if he doesn't make that putback, we're going to seventh game, and Oklahoma City plays the Lakers tough.
Yeah, they play them so hard. And you go into that, I mean, it's like walking into a college stadium. It's crazy there.
Right.
I mean, they're nuts, you know. And that's one of the things about you know, some of the Lakers bench that I actually worry about. And you know, it's the damnedest thing, because in college, you know, you notice these guys, they play so much better at home than they do on the road. And the veterans typically – in the NBA, once they've been in the league a little while, you know, their numbers don't change so much. But it's the bench players that and the role players, you know, the Shannon Browns and the Barnes and the Blakes and stuff like that. You know, those are the guys that typically will play a lot better at home than they do on the road. And you hope that a guy like a Shannon Brown, who means a lot to the Lakers, I think he's a real, real big piece of the puzzle, especially coming off the bench. You know, you hope that he's now been in the league long enough that he can play as well on the road as he does at home. And right now his numbers don't show that at all. But you know, you go into a place like Oklahoma City, you're going to have to win some games on the road, especially this year. So, yeah, they're going to be a tough out.
We're talking to Eric Ladin, actor. And Eric will be appearing on the hit AMC series, The Killing, which airs and debuts on April 3rd. Now, Eric. We talked about Perkins in Oklahoma City. The Mavericks are playing some good basketball right now. Of course, the Spurs, who are on top of the West, are playing good basketball. And then you have Boston out East. Is the three-peat possible? And will the three-peat happen this year?
Oh, yeah. The three-peat is – well, come on. The three-peat's possible. You know, when you got –
it's possible.
When you got number 24 you know, the three-peat is possible. It's going to be tough. I mean, the thing that the Lakers have going for them, in my opinion, is, you know, I just think they're a real tough out in a seven-game series. So, you know, when it does get to be, you know, when you get into those later rounds and you're playing the Spurs, Dallas, I just think the Lakers play different basketball in the playoffs. It's right. And you know, as every team needs to play different basketball, it's a different brand of basketball. It just is. And, you know, they're experienced and, you know, as a fan, it can be frustrating because you say, God, I hope they just don't think they can turn it on. But, you know, since the All-Star break, they've looked really, really good. But I see them being able to do it. I think that, I think Dallas is going to be a big challenge for them. I think Oklahoma City is going to be a big challenge for them. And if they can get to the championship, you know, then we'll see who they face. You know, the Eastern Conference, by the way, that's no easy road for the Celtics.
And that's very true. I mean, you look out east. I mean, you have Boston, you have Chicago, of course, you have Miami, and I think Orlando's. Those four teams, I think, are going to battle it out east. But I think the Celtics will find a way to get through.
But yeah, I mean, it was interesting them getting rid of Perkins. You know, I mean, I thought that was kind of an interesting move.
If you looked at that move, I mean, Perkins missed a great part of the season, and they got off to that great start, and they're still playing great basketball without him.
Yeah.
They played great basketball without him. And I find that sometimes we turn Perkins into Bill Russell somehow. I mean, Perkins is a solid center, and he does what Boston needed him to do.
Right.
He can be replaced. And if Shaq is healthy and Jermaine O'Neal, it's a big if. If Shaq is healthy and Jermaine O'Neal is healthy, then Boston will be fine.
Yeah, that's an if. Shaq's about 120 years old, you know. How many minutes is he going to give you? So.
And yeah, they're definitely big ifs. Definitely.
But that team, you know, I mean, I agree with you. I think it's going to, you know, they probably will make it out. But it'll be interesting. The Eastern Conference playoffs will be a fun one to watch.
It'll be a lot of fun. Now, Eric, you're a graduate of USC. And
I am.
This past season, Reggie Bush, he gave back his Heisman after his scandal that rocked the university. Do you think Reggie should have gave his Heisman back?
You know, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things that on paper, the Heisman doesn't belong to him anymore. You know, I personally believe that whether or not, you know, and of course I'm biased in the sense that, you know, being an SC fan, but at the end of the day, no matter, you know, what was happening with his family or what had happened to him in the past, he was the best player on the field that year, and there's no doubt about it. So, you know, I don't know that he necessarily needed to give the piece of hardware back. And, you know, I mean, what are those guys, you know, what does it mean anyway? You know what I mean? At the end of the day, it's your name in the books that gets erased, and that's probably more important than actually having a piece of hardware, you know, sitting in your living room or whatever it is. So, you know, I mean, I don't know. I was kind of indifferent about the whole thing, to be honest with you, as far as the trophy itself.
And we all know that what he did on the field, he deserves to be the Heisman. And in all of the minds, he truly is the Heisman Trophy winner, no matter what happened off the field.
Right. Right. Yeah, that was, you know, it's, you know, as the NCAA, like with Oregon now, has, you know, they've come under investigation in the last couple of days. And when you look at the stuff that went on with Cam Newton and Auburn, and, you know, I think if the NCAA really wanted to start digging deep into these programs, it just, you start to find a lot of things in all these programs. So, it's there's a lot of money to be had in college football, a lot of money. So, and it's, you know, it's hard to win if you're not breaking a rule here or there along the way, I think. I'm not condoning it, but that is the reality.
And the reality of it is everybody's dirty. It's just who's the dirtier or the dirtiest, if you will. And speaking of USC, Pete Carroll, he helped build the dynasty. But when the sanctions came, Pete Carroll skipped town. Went to Seattle, the coach of the Seahawks. Any ill will towards Carroll?
You know, it's interesting. At first, yes, I did. Right off the bat, I was upset. You know, and then as I've kind of like sat back and had my time with it, no, not really. I think that Pete gave us 10 incredible years. And he literally turned that entire program around and made it, you know, a bigger program than it's ever been, bigger than it was in the past with OJ and everything else. You know, basically restored the history of SC football. So that to me was more important than, you know, I can't discount that. I went to too many amazing games and had too much fun watching this team basically dominate college football for the span that they did to basically hold ill will towards Pete. Do I think that, you know, he knew what was going on? Yes. Do I think that he knew that it was going to be a rough road ahead? Yeah. At the same time, to be completely honest with you, I think I think his message was kind of getting stale, you know, and I think that we needed a new coach and a new coaching staff to get in there. You know, I don't know all the players personally, but you know, had heard from some of the players that, you know, they were just, it was undisciplined. And, you know, I think that his message had just gotten a little stale. And what had happened, we were just getting a lot of kids in there who, you know, they figured they threw on an SC jersey. They were 5 stars, and that just meant they won. You know, and they forgot about what, you know, all the work that went into basically building it. So, you know, I like Coach O and Lane and you know, what they've done and coming in and kind of reinfusing a new energy into the program.
We're talking to Eric Ladin, actor, and Eric will be appearing on the hit show, AMC hit show, The Killing, which debuts April 3rd on AMC. Now, Eric, you're best known for your role as January Jones in the hit AMC series Mad Men. My sister loves the show. She can't stop talking about it. Tell us a little bit about that show and what that show has meant for your career.
Mad Men, well, first of all, it's an amazing show. It broke all sorts of boundaries, not only for the network itself, for AMC, but, it just kind of stepped outside the box. And, it's a period piece, and which I think a lot of networks were scared of, and they weren't sure if they were going to be able to sell it. And, it found a home on AMC. AMC had never done any scripted television. So luckily they were willing to give it some time and let it develop and let it build a fan base. And it just became this, have this huge cult following. And, not only that, but they've maintained the integrity of the show. They've got an incredible showrunner. He continues to write better and better seasons as they go along. And so when I got that job, I wasn't totally aware of what the show was. So I went and I watched, everything that I could leading up to it. And I fell in love with it as a fan before I even really stepped on the set. And for my career, it's been great. Working with AMC, and now I'm working with AMC on this new show called The Killing. And working with AMC was fabulous, and I think that that obviously probably helped when they saw me in the room for this new show. And it also the Mad Men just carries a weight of critical acclaim with it. So and that's something that I'm proud of. I've been able to work on shows that that are pretty critically acclaimed, and they're don't necessarily have the biggest audiences, but audiences that are like-minded like myself, TV that I like to watch. So.
And now, Eric, you will be co-starring on The Killing, which again debuts on AMC on April 3rd, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, 2 hours extravaganza. What can fans expect from this show?
This is it's a different show. This show is different than anything that's on television right now. It's not a show that's going to be wrapped up in a pretty little bow at the end of every episode. It's different than any crime thriller. It's gritty. It's tense. It's gut-wrenching. It's shot absolutely gorgeous. I just watched the first 5 episodes, and it's one of the best shows I've ever seen. And I'm not saying it because I'm on it. I literally would be a huge fan of this show. We've got an incredible, incredible group of writers that have written really great episodes. We've got an amazing group of directors that have come in, a lot of them from film, and they've shot almost like, 40-minute films as opposed to television shows. And I think, having that it's 2 episodes on the premiere, I think it'll be tough after watching the first 2 episodes to turn away. I think we'll hook you after that.
And you played the character Jamie Dempsey on The Killing. Tell us
That's
a little
right.
bit
we
about
changed
the character.
His name. We changed his name to Jamie Wright. And he is a campaign manager for the mayoral candidate Darren Richmond, and who's played by Billy Campbell. And Jamie is a young political wunderkind, kind of like a James Carville, is kind of how I like to think of him a little bit. Not as character as Carville, but he's been successful at a very young age. And, he is extremely competitive, and he is extremely cutthroat. And he's, his primary objective is to win this campaign and see if he can't progress his career. So he's willing to sometimes maybe blur the lines of morality a little bit, and if it means winning, he's got he's definitely got a an objective.
And so, you have The Killing coming up, and you also have you'll be starring in an independent film called Highland Park. What can you tell us about that project?
Highland Park is a a film I shot in Detroit with actually one of the other actors on The Killing. Her name is Michelle Forbes. She's also in it. And it takes place in an area called Highland Park, Detroit. And it was it's a great, neat little story. I play a, you know, pretty down on his luck father, husband, who finds himself in some money after winning the lottery, and we kind of go on a pretty interesting ride from there. I don't like to give too much away because I think the story is pretty cool, but you know, so I don't like to give too much away about that one, but it's a fun movie.
Okay, you got the Highland Park, you got The Killing, and right now you have your Lakers, who you believe will three-peat. Give us a quick, switching gears back to sports, give us a quick finals prediction. Who will be there, Lakers against who?
Lakers are going to get there against the Celtics. It's going to be another epic battle. Lakers are going to win at home. I always forget the final switches, doesn't it? They go 6-7 at Boston. Lakers are going to win in 6 at Boston, at the Garden.
Wow.
They're going to do it in Boston. Kobe's just going to throw a dagger into Boston Garden. What do you think about that? Eric, you like that?
I don't love it.
I can tell you don't love it. I can tell you don't love it.
I think if we have a rematch between the Celtics and the Lakers, I think it's going to be a little different this time around. You add Shaq into the mix, who would love to dig it to Kobe. You add Shaq into the mix, and then you have the big three. And then you add Delonte West, who I think is an underrated signing and a guy who I think he's healthy now. He's going to contribute. And then Jeff Green, I think, again, another good trade by Boston, adding Jeff Green. I like the Celtics.
You like them, huh?
I like the Celtics.
All right, and how many?
An epic 7-game series.
Okay.
If we're
in 7 games against the Celtics, I like that. It's anybody's game, right?
True. 7 games, anything can happen.
That's right. Well, then I'll be calling back in a few months, and we'll see who's right.
Definitely, definitely. and again, you can check Eric Ladin out on The Killing, which debuts on AMC April 3rd, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 o'clock Central. And where else can we find information about Eric Ladin?
You can go to, it's actually Eric Ladin, but you can go
Ladin,
to
I'm
at
sorry.
Eric Ladin. No, that's all good. It's you can follow me on Twitter at Eric Ladin, and ericladin.com will be up in about 3 weeks. But probably the best place to get information is just follow me on Twitter at Eric Ladin.
All right, Eric Ladin, I got it right, and I apologize for butchering your name.
Oh,
Eric,
hey, got it. It's all good.
And again, you can check Eric out on The Killing, which debuts on AMC, April 3rd, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 o'clock Central. Eric Ladin, it was a pleasure talking to you, sir. Love to talk
Absolutely.
To you a few months down the line as the Boston Celtics win the NBA title.
All right, well, then we'll be talking in a few months. I appreciate it, Paul. Take care, man.
Take care, Eric.
All right, be good. Bye.
All right. Eric Ladin, who will debut on The Killing, April 3rd, on AMC, 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central. Pleasure talking to Eric, who's a big-time Lakers fan. Big-time Lakers fan. But, like I said before, Game 7 at the Story Boston Garden. If the Lakers and the Celtics meet again, I like the Boston Celtics. But that's why they play the game. And we'll definitely see what happens with that situation. Should be very interesting to see what happens as this NBA season progresses. And Eric, again, he talked about the Eastern Conference. and how tough that's going to be and how great those playoffs are going to be. I mean, the NBA playoffs, this upcoming NBA playoffs are going to be great. They're going to be great. They are going to be great. And when these playoffs start, it should be interesting to see what happens. Out East, it's exciting. Boston, Chicago, Miami, Orlando. Those four teams are going to be battling it out. They're going to battle. They're going to battle. And who's going to come out? Who is going to come out? I mean, the reality of it is, if you look at it, Boston's probably the most balanced team out of all of them. Boston has the bench play. They have Garnett. They have Rondo. They have Pierce, Ray Allen. They have Delonte West coming off the bench, Jeff Green. I mean, they have pieces. They have a lot of pieces in Boston. And those pieces are going to be key. Those pieces are going to be big in the playoffs. Those pieces are going to be big in the playoffs. They're going to be very big. I mean, they added Troy Murphy. You got Big Baby Davis coming off the bench. Delonte West coming off the bench. Now Troy Murphy. A Jeff Green now coming off the bench. There are pieces in Orlando. Or excuse me, in Boston. A lot of pieces. And so it should be very interesting. To see how this plays out in the Eastern Conference. It's very interesting to see how it plays out. And everybody, the Orlando Magic, a team that with the addition of Gilbert Arenas, with the addition of Jason Richardson and Hito Turco, don't sleep on this Magic team. A team that's been playing well of late, a team that had some impressive victories these last few months, this past few weeks, excuse me. Had some impressive victories. A team that I think has the firepower to compete with anybody out East. Anybody, period. Out East. They can compete with anybody out East. They can get it done. They can compete with anybody. Don't sleep on this team. Don't sleep on this Orlando Magic team. A team that lost last night against Chicago's Bulls, but during this week, or even going back to last week, they beat Oklahoma City, a talented, top-notch team. Impressively, handily. This past week, they beat the Knicks. They had a great comeback against the Heat. They lost against the Bulls this Friday, but I mean, some impressive victories for its Magic team, a team that has struggled against plus 500 teams. But right now, they're playing some good pretty good basketball. Don't sleep on them. Please. Don't sleep on this Orlando Magic team. Do not do it. Don't do it to yourself. Don't do it to yourself. Because they're going to be there. They're going to be there. They are going to be there. Don't sleep on them. But the East will be competitive. The Eastern Conference playoffs will be a lot of fun. They definitely will be a lot of fun. And we're going to be joined in the next few minutes by Senior Vice President of the Orlando Magic, the legendary Pat Williams. We will talk about the Magic and also talk about his new book that he has coming out, The Seven Principles That Shaped His Life and Will Change Yours, Coach Wooden. So, I mean, he's going to talk about that, and that's going to be very interesting. Again, the book is Coach Woody, The Seven Principles That Shaped His Life and Will Change Yours. So it should be very interesting to get his thoughts on his book and his thoughts on his Orlando Magic. And Pat is also battling cancer right now. And so Pat's a trooper. He's a survivor. And it should be very interesting to hear how he's doing with that as well. So Pat Williams will be joining us shortly on Go For It. And it should be very interesting to get Pat's thoughts on his Orlando Magic and a team that, again, please don't sleep on. Do not sleep on. Do not sleep on. Oh, Nats, please, don't do it. Don't do it to yourself. Don't do it to yourself. And I want to go to some NFL news now. And Plaxico Burress is set to exit prison June 6th. And hopefully for Plaxico, he'll get another shot at the NFL. And hopefully he's turned some things around. I mean, he's a guy who had the situation with the gun in a New York City nightclub where the gun actually slipped down and he shot at himself in the leg. Plaxico, because of the strict gun laws in New York City, has been in jail for a while now. And served 20 months. He'll be serving. He'll be freed after serving 21 months in prison of the two-year sentence that he was received. So he'll get early release, 3 months earlier. But, again, you know, granted, he had a gun in public, in a public place, but he wasn't malicious with it. And granted, someone could have got hurt because of it. But again, he wasn't malicious with it. And so you give him a lot of credit for that. But now, let's bring in the senior vice president of the Orlando Magic, motivational speaker and author, Pat Williams. Pat, how are you today, sir?
Paul, I'm doing well. It's nice to catch up with you. Hope you're doing well.
Doing great, Pat. And you're a Philadelphia guy, and I'm also from the Philadelphia area. So it's definitely a pleasure to talk to you.
Good. My pleasure
now,
as
Pat,
well.
Pat, your Orlando Magic, they've been playing well of late. Real awesome, impressive victories over the Knicks, over the Heat, and even last Friday over the Oklahoma City Thunder. What has been the reason behind this renewed play?
Well, I think Dwight Howard is playing at a very high level, the best basketball of his career, particularly offensively, where he's been almost unstoppable for the last month or so. Keeps racking up player of the week and player of the month, and Dwight's just at a very, very high level. Jameer Nelson has played well, and your old buddy from St. Joe's, Paul, is the heart and soul of our team. He's the emotional leader, and when he's playing at a high level, you know, we're tough to stop as well. So, and we've had some wonderful comebacks over the last week. Couldn't quite do it last night with Chicago, but our guys have played very hard and, you know, battled through a lot of adversity.
And Pat, last night, Dwight Howard picked up his 16th technical, which may result and will probably result in a one-game suspension. Now, Dwight, he gets banged around a lot, but what does he have to do to kind of limit these technicals?
Well, that's a great question. You know, he's just got to ignore the refs to the best of his ability, work with them, not react to them, you know, and he doesn't cuss them. You know, he's not berating them with, you know, vulgarities, but, you know, the refs have been instructed to, you know, cut down on players' actions and reactions, and so Dwight just has to do a better job of disciplining himself when he gets frustrated or angry, and at this point it appears it's going to cost him a ball game and an awful lot of money, and you know, we just can't. Dwight, you know, it's not good for Dwight, not good for us, so hopefully that's the end of it and he can play the last month or so of the season, you know, without sitting another game, because every time he gets a technical now, it's another whack in his paycheck and a night that we don't get to use him, which is costly.
Isn't it kind of like a Shaquille O'Neal, who also got banged around, who you saw during his Orlando Magic days getting banged around? Is it kind of the same type of effect with Dwight Howard?
Well, there's no question. The big guys take an enormous beating, and, you know, Dwight is double-teamed most every night, and he's taking a lot of contact down there, and it gets frustrated. And, you know, the big guys always feel put upon that they're being refereed differently. So when you get a great big man, it is tough to referee him. They're not that many, first of all, Paul, and it's hard for the refs to, you know, call everything. They can't call everything because the big guy's making contact on every play. But it does. But at the end of the day, the big guys have got to discipline themselves and not lose control, because it does cost you.
And right now, Pat, your Orlando Magic are currently fourth in the Eastern Conference right now. They made the big trade where they added Turkoglu, Gilbert Arenas, and Jason Richardson. In your mind now, what does this team need to do to make that return to the NBA Finals?
Well, that's a great question. I think we can play with everybody in the East. You know, we match up pretty well with Boston. We've proven we can play with Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago's very good, Paul. You know, when they're healthy, they're very good, and we have a great respect for them. Right now, our battle is home court advantage over Atlanta, and that's what it appears
right. The
last month of the season is going to be about. We're very close with them right now, and, you know, to get home court in that first round is awfully important. So that's our focus right now. It's going to be tough to catch the other teams, but we've got to hold off Atlanta. We're very capable in a seven-game series with playing with everybody in the East. But I will say this, Paul, the playoffs this spring in the East are going to be a monster. You know, you look at some of these matchups. Oh, my. It's going to be, some dicey and unbelievable basketball come April in the Eastern Conference.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think the Orlando Magic can play with anybody out East. And especially the way they shoot from downtown, they can play with anybody. And on any given night, they can beat anybody in the Eastern Conference and in the seven-game series.
When our shooters are open and hitting, you know, like the other night in Miami where we just erupted, you know, and just started raining threes down on them, you know, you can make up a lot of ground real quickly. You know, Richardson's hit four in a row, and Ryan Anderson can bomb from out there, and Redick and our other shooters. So, nobody wants to play us in the playoffs, I'm sure. Nobody wants to match up with us. Just like
right. You
could say, Paul, well, we don't want to match up with them, but somewhere along the line it's gonna happen.
We're talking to Senior Vice President of the Orlando Magic, motivational speaker and author, Pat Williams. Now, Pat, over the trade deadline and the offseason, you had big-name players like LeBron James, Chris Bosh, Darren Williams, to name a few, leave small markets to go to big cities like Miami and New York. Looking at this possible trend, is this bad for the league?
Well, Paul, you know, it's gone on forever. I think back, Wilt Chamberlain was traded twice, you know, that he forced. You've got Charles Barkley, who forced his way out of Philadelphia. Oscar Robertson wanted to hook up with Kareem in Milwaukee years ago. So we've got a long history of this. So it really is nothing new, except it's now free agency. And for the first time ever, some of these players are taking appreciably less money, not taking the maximum, you know, to hook up and play with their buddies or play with these guys, you know, and they're not getting their full salaries. Paul, that's never happened before. And so I'm sure the league is talking about this in great detail with this new CBA discussion and along with dozens of other items. But I'm sure that's on the agenda that they're discussing.
Are you concerned about these possible super teams? You have the one in Miami with the big three there. Looks like the Knicks are trying to put something together there. Are you a little concerned about the super teams and these players forming these super teams?
Well, Paul, they're not doing anything illegally. You know, they collectively bargained free agency years ago, and they have the right to do this. But, it does need to be really reviewed. The beauty of the NBA for many years, Paul, has been the fact that with our salary cap, all 30 teams, if they run well, can compete. We've seen that with Salt Lake City. We've seen it with San Antonio, Portland, here in Orlando. You know, smaller markets, if you operate well, you can compete with the New Yorks and the Chicagos and the LAs. And that, to me, has been the beauty of the NBA. And nobody in pro basketball wants to lose that.
And going back to Dwight Howard for a second now, I mean, he can opt out of his deal and become a free agent in 2012. Right now, he's in the smaller market in Orlando. Do the Magic have any concerns about possibly re-signing this guy?
Well, it's a year and a half from now, Paul, so it's a long way off, and Dwight keeps reminding everybody of that he's focused on the next game, not a year and a half from now. But, you know, we would hope that Dwight is Tim Duncan-ish in that regard. John
right.
Havlicek, you know, where they spent an entire career in one city. There's something to be said for that. And Dwight has an incredible relationship here in Central Florida, far beyond the norm, and it goes way beyond basketball. You know, he's been a huge contributor in the community, continues to do that, has a great outreach in many facets of Orlando society. So we firmly believe that Dwight has a heart for Orlando and, you know, really embraces this community. So that's a huge plus, Paul.
And hopefully Dwight Howard does. I like to see guys stay with the team that they came in. And granted, it's a whole different league right now, but hopefully Dwight Howard does stay in Orlando. Right now, Dwight Howard is averaging 23 points, 13 boards a game, over 2 blocks a game. Can you kind of start the campaign for Dwight Howard as MVP?
Well, you could make a strong argument. He doesn't get a whole lot of national talk, but for our money here in Orlando, he is the MVP. You know, as Brian Schmitz of the Orlando Sentinel wrote the other day, without Dwight, we're the Charlotte Bobcats. And you can make a compelling case that Dwight is the MVP. Not to take anything again away from Derrick Rose and LeBron and other great players. Listen, Kobe could win the thing every year, but
right.
we would argue loud and strongly from Orlando that Dwight is the MVP of the league. Without him, we're floundering. So, you get a lot of votes down this way for him.
We're talking to Pat Williams, author, senior vice president of the Orlando Magic, and a motivational speaker. And Pat, you were diagnosed in January with cancer, blood cancer, if you will. This cancer is treatable. How does a guy who motivates others try to motivate himself to beat this dreaded disease?
Well, Paul, I had a physical back in January, and by the way, to the listeners here, Paul, do not neglect your yearly physical, particularly you men who tend to slough it off, because with the yearly physical, you know, modern medicine can do wonderful things. There was a disorder with my blood after they did my physical, and the doctors wanted me to see a series of experts, which I did over time. And finally, they diagnosed it as multiple myeloma, which I'd never heard of, Paul. And the doctor explained to me that it's a cancer of the blood plasma in the bone marrow and does not strike many, one, two out of 100,000 Americans. So it's not all that common. We do know that Mel Stottlemyre and Don Baylor, the baseball players, went through it, as did Geraldine Ferraro. But I've just got to face it head on. I said to Dr. Reynolds right off the bat, let's get after it and not waste time. So we started the treatment immediately. The mission is remission, Paul. That's the goal. And we should know a lot by June, I'm told. But I'm dealing with it with a good attitude. None of us are exempt. I want to be a good role model to others who are going through difficult times. I've had 70 straight years, Paul, of trouble-free living, basically. And now
right.
I face a big medical test, but I'm in good medical hands, and I'm very close with the Lord at this point. I've drawn absolutely as tight to him as I can. We're praying hard, and determined to beat it, Paul. But above all, I don't want to waste this period of difficulty. I want to learn from it and grow from it, and on the other side, perhaps be of value to others who are going through it.
Do you ever have those days where you're not as motivated to beat it? Or do you ever have those days where it just gets a little tough to get motivated?
Paul, that's a good question. The main issue is tiredness. You know, I've had 8 chemotherapy sessions, and it does leave you kind of depleted. I had one yesterday afternoon, so today has been kind of a slow, laid-back, relaxed day of rest. But by and large, the thing I've learned is to keep busy, keep your normal life as normal as you can, and don't dwell on this. You know, you could sit here and dwell on it 24 hours a day and, you know, get down in the dumps. So I'm continuing on with my work with the Magic and trying to keep my speaking dates up to date and current and continue to write. So I think that's the best advice I've gotten. Go on with your life as best you can.
And now, Pat, you are an author, and right now you have a book out titled Coach Wooden, The 7 Principles That Shapes His Life and Will Change Yours. Talk about what Coach John Wooden, the legendary Coach John Wooden, what he has meant to your life.
Paul, was a remarkable man, not only the greatest coach of all time in the history of sports in America, but beyond that, a teacher. He was a mentor. He wanted to make a difference in people's lives, and through his speaking and his writing, he really did. He became kind of America's coach, impacted far more people after his retirement from coaching than while he was coaching. And I got to meet him and get to know him maybe 10, 11 years ago when I was writing another book called How to Be Like Coach Wooden. He let me into his life for about 4.5 years, which was an enormous privilege. And so I wanted to write this book built around a 7-point creed that his dad, Joshua U. Wooden, planted in Johnny Wooden's life when Johnny was 12 years old in 1922. And Mr. Wooden wrote out 7 principles and said to Johnny, live your life by these principles and you'll do well. And darn if 12-year-old Johnny Wooden didn't keep that paper in his wallet his whole life. And then later, he began to share that 7-point creed with others and had cards printed up and he handed them out. And I was just always fascinated by the 7-point creed, but nobody has ever really written on it and expanded it. So I just thought that would be a tribute to Coach Wooden and his dad. So we took each of the 7 principles, wrote a chapter on each one of them as a teaching guide. And just as Johnny Wooden's life was impacted at 12, I really believe young people today can receive the same benefits from those 7 principles, Paul. So that's the heart and soul of the book. Tony Dungy wrote the foreword for us, which thrilled us. And the book is out now in bookstores and up on Amazon.
And is there, out of these 7 principles, is that one principle that speaks to you or kind of stands out to you?
Well, they're all fascinating, but I'll share one with you, Paul. Here it is, 5, make each day your masterpiece. That's what John Wooden's father wrote for him years ago, make each day your masterpiece. And isn't that beautifully phrased? What that would mean is that when you get up in the morning, your attitude is good. You are warm and gracious to your family. You work hard that day for your boss, doing the very best you can. You treat people well. You go out of your way to do kindnesses when you can. You give it your best shot all day long and come home to your family and engage with them and help put the kids to bed and pray with them and read them stories. And, I mean, absolutely maxing it every day, Paul. Make each day your masterpiece. And then Coach Wooden would tell you, if you string enough masterpiece days together, you're going to have a wonderful life. And so I'm reminding – in fact, I reminded myself of that little phrase earlier today, you know, with this illness, Paul, one day at a time. You know, if I look out a couple of months down the road, it's too much. But the 5th of March is all I'm focused on and trying to make it a masterpiece today. So I love that little phrase of the 7. That's one that means an awful lot to me.
And how would someone try to live out those seven principles? How hard is it to live those seven principles that Wooden has laid out?
Well, it's a good question, Paul. I'm not saying it's easy, but certainly doable and certainly understandable. The first one is be true to yourself. Mr. Wooden was saying to Johnny, you know your values and your standards. We've taught you good character. And now live it out, live that way. Don't compromise because you'll be miserable if you do. Number two, help others. That's clear. You know, every day when you encounter people, is there anything I can do to help you? Number three, make friendship a fine art. And what Mr. Wooden is saying there, you've got to work at friendship. You've got to add value. You've got to contribute. You can't be passive and have good friends. And then number four, another one of my favorites, Paul, drink deeply from good books, especially the Bible. Mr. Wooden believed, he was not formally educated, but he read to his children and saw the value of the printed word. And reading is so important, so important. To develop our minds, to stimulate our imaginations. We've become a non-reading society, and we've got to change that. And then I talked about the fifth one, make each day your masterpiece. Number six has impacted me recently, Paul. Build shelter for a rainy day by the way you live your life. And eventually we're all going to run into problems and difficulties and tough times, and the way you've lived your life up to that period will determine how strong your shelter is. And then finally, seek divine guidance and give thanks for your blessings every day. And, Paul, here in this country, we have so much to be thankful for. And Mr. Wooden was a man of prayer, and he's simply saying, thank God every day for all that he's done for us.
And, Pat, I want to go back to that second principle, help others. I mean, you're a parent of 19 children, 14 which have been adopted. The help others principle, is that one of the reasons you decided to adopt the 14 children?
Well, that's a good question, Paul. We adopted 14 children over a 10-year period, and I must admit there was not a game plan laid out. You know, we did it and then kind of woke up later and said, oh, my goodness, where are we here? But I think so. I think we learned about children around the world who needed a home, and we're going to probably end up with very abbreviated lives if they stayed in their home country. So I think there was certainly a heart there to make a difference and also to set example to others. It's always very thrilling when we hear from people who say, we heard about your adoption and it inspired us to do the same. So, and Paul, let me just say this. You don't have to adopt internationally. You know, all over this country, there are children that need homes. And if one couple in every church in America adopted a child, the whole issue in this country would be eradicated. One couple in each church in America would adopt a kid who needs a home, the whole problem would be solved. So hopefully people will catch that vision. But it doesn't have to be anything of that drama, you know, a kind word, a note. Coach Wooden would always have time for people. If they wanted to come over and talk to him and visit him at his condo, it was amazing to me how he would open up his home to them. He answered every piece of mail that ever came to him, which people, believe me, have framed all over their offices or homes right now. There's no telling how many Coach Wooden notes are framed and hanging in somebody's house. But because he wanted to make a difference in people's lives, it's a wonderful challenge for all of us.
And again, Pat, you have the book out, Coach Wooden, The Seven Principles That Shaped His Life and Will Change Yours. Where can people find information about the book and about you?
Paul, that book is in bookstores now. Borders, Barnes & Noble, it's out there, and I'm thrilled about that. Books a Million, the Lifeway stores, and Amazon.com, always a wonderful way to order books, Paul. And I've got a website. I'm always happy when people visit. It's PatWilliamsMotivate.com, PatWilliamsMotivate.com, and my Twitter page is Orlando Magic Pat.
Pat, it's been a pleasure talking to you, sir. We wish you nothing but the best of luck with your battles. And it was a pleasure talking to you, and God bless you as you go through this situation.
Paul, thanks so much for calling, and I Sure appreciate everybody's prayers. Good to be visiting with you today.
Thank you, Pat. Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
Pat Williams, Senior Vice President of the Orlando Magic and motivational speaker and, of course, author. And, again, Pat has a book out, Coach Wooden, The Seven Principles That Shaped His Life and Will Change Yours, about the seven principles laid out by legendary UCLA coach, the late, the great John Wooden. So, again, make sure you check it out. Make sure you get the book. It's a great book. It's a great read. And, again, we wish Pat Williams nothing but the best of luck as he battles this evil, dreaded monster they call cancer. And, again, we wish Pat nothing but the best of luck. And it was a pleasure talking to Pat. I mean, being that I'm from the Philadelphia area, and Pat is also from the Philadelphia area himself, and a guy who was a part of the Philadelphia 76er organization, which happens to be my favorite team. It's just a pleasure talking to Pat Williams. And again, I can't say this and stress this over and over. We wish Pat nothing but the best of luck, and we will be rooting for him as he battles this dreaded disease they call cancer. About another 4 minutes left in the show. Again, we want to thank Eric Layden, who stopped by earlier. Eric is going to be on the hit show, which airs on AMC, called The Killing, and which airs on April 3rd. And again, it's a two-hour special season premiere, and that comes on at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 o'clock Central on AMC. So make sure you check your local listings for that to see the great Eric Layden, big-time Lakers fan Eric Layden, and big-time actor Eric Layden. Make sure you check him out on The Killing again, which airs on AMC, April 3rd, 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, and again, a special two-hour season premiere of The Killing. And make sure you check it out. Again, it debuts April 3rd, and again, make sure you pick up Coach Wooden, The Seven Principles That Shaped His Life and Will Change Yours, written by Senior Vice President of the Orlando Magic, Pat Williams. Make sure you check the book out. Again, it's everywhere right now. It's out. And make sure you go to Amazon, Borders, Barnes & Noble, all the bookstores. You can get it online. And make sure you go get it. Sounds like a great book. And Coach Wooden, again, those seven principles are principles that a lot of times and a lot of ways we have gotten away from as a society. And could be one reason that our society is where it is today. But again, make sure you check it out. Make sure you get those books by Pat Williams. And again, let me give the book to you again. It's Coach Wooden, The Seven Principles That Shaped His Life and Will Change Yours. And again, a great book written by Pat Williams and based on the life of legendary coach John Wooden. And make sure again, Eric Layden, make sure you check him out. Make sure you check him out April 3rd on the AMC Network. That's his The Killing two-hour season premiere. Airs at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, April 3rd on the AMC Network. The show is The Killing, and the actor is Eric Layden. And make sure you check out this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/pregame. That's blogtalkradio.com/pregame, where you can check out this show and other shows. And also, please follow us on Twitter at GoForItGame. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me. I can take you far places, far and great and many places on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter. GoForItGame. 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 Check me out. Follow me on Twitter. And again, follow me. Make sure you follow me. Got it? Go, okay. We want to thank Eric Layden, and make sure you check Eric Layden out on the AMC Network. April 3rd, The Killing, it debuts, 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central. And Pat Williams, author, Senior Vice President, and the Magic. Make sure you check out his book. For everyone at Go For It, We thank you for stopping by. See you later.